Anyway, I want to share something with you tonight that I believe is going to be a real blessing and help you in your Christian life. If you'll open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 1. And, of course, we're going to talk about, guess who? Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus tonight. And I'm going to tell you some things about him that you might not have heard before. You'll remember some of them if you have a pencil and want to take notes. In the bulletin, there's a page for notes. And you're welcome to do that. In Matthew chapter 1, to set the stage for this message, I want to begin reading in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, that's Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Someone has said that there are 256 names that are given to Jesus in the Bible. 256 different names. And I got stuck with R.C. I can't help it, I'm sorry. I want us to consider three of these 256 names tonight. One of them is Lord. One of them is Jesus. The third one is Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. Lord signifies his sovereignty. Jesus signifies his humanity, and Christ signifies his deity. In the New Testament, the word Lord is used 657 times. He is called Lord Jesus 115 times. He is called Lord Jesus Christ 81 times. He is called simply Jesus 942 times. He is called Christ 522 times. He is called Jesus Christ 187 times. He is called Christ Jesus 58 times, and he is called the Christ 19 times. Boy, computers are wonderful things. All you've got to do is in that Bible program is to put that name in there, and faster than you can blink your eye, it counts all of the times that that name appears in the Bible and gives you the reference to them. Whew. Think what it was like before computers. Nobody could preach this sermon, that's for sure. Well, I consulted it. But let's look at the word Lord. In the Greek, the word is Kurios, K-U-R-I-O-S. In the Hebrew, it is Adonai, A-D-O-N-A-I. But whether it's in English or Greek or Hebrew, it means sovereign, master, owner. And by the way, this word Lord in the New Testament is clearly distinguished from the word Lord in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you'll notice every time that it's mentioned there referring to God or deity, it is all in capital letters. L-O-R-D. And in the Old Testament, that Lord in capital letters means Jehovah. Now, in the New Testament, the name Lord, like Lord Jesus Christ, is a title. And it's used as we would use president or governor or mayor, something like that. Jesus is Lord. By the way, over in England, they still have lords and ladies, I understand. It's a title of respect. But when this title is used of the Lord Jesus Christ, it reveals an aspect of his divine character. Sets him apart and places him infinitely higher than all other beings. Now, from the very outset of his ministry, this was a common form of address to Jesus. They called him Lord. It's used 657 times in the New Testament that Jesus is called Lord, which is an acknowledgement of his sovereignty as the Almighty God. This is interesting. I'll share it with you in Matthew. The first person that ever called Jesus Lord in Matthew's gospel was a leper. In Matthew 8, verse 2, "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he called him Lord. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Now you guys can get a message out of this. In Matthew, it was the leper. Then we go over to Mark, and the word Lord was first used in addressing Jesus by a Greek woman who had a daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil. And she came to Jesus. She wasn't a Jew. She was a Greek. And she asked Jesus to cast this devil out of her daughter. And Jesus kind of rebuked her. He didn't come to cast demons and devils out of the Gentiles, he came unto his own. And He put the children of Israel first, and she came up with a fine argument. She says to him, "Yes, Lord," and that's where Jesus was called Lord first in Mark. "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." Isn't that beautiful? And you know what? It so touched our Savior's heart that he said, "Go thy way. Your request has been granted." This was a long distance healing because her daughter was way back under wherever she lived, at home, in bed. And when she got home, she found that she was whole. I think that's wonderful. Matthew, Mark, Luke. First time that it's used in Luke is by a fellow by the name of Simon Peter. Simon Peter was a fisherman. And he went fishing. And he fished. Oh, remember the little kids used to sing a song like that? He fished all night and caught no fishes. "Have you any fish?" He said, "No, we fished all night. We haven't caught a thing." And then he says, "Try it again." And he cast the net in. And that net embraced such a bunch of fishes that the net almost broke, and they pulled it in, and they filled two boats up with fish to where the boats were nearly sinking. They were so full of fish. And that caused Peter to say to Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." That's the third time. And now we go over to the book of John. And the first time that Jesus is called Lord in John is in chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus had been teaching his disciples. And he taught them, and he said to them, "I am the bread of life." And the disciples said, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." I like that. See, there's a four-point sermon right there, Brother Brian. You know, that title, Lord, took on a new meaning and even greater significance after Jesus was raised from the dead. After his resurrection, when he appeared to his disciples in that resurrected, glorified body. Remember, there came a time on the first day of his resurrection, that evening when Jesus appeared to them, and Thomas was not there. And they told Jesus, "You should have been at that meeting Sunday night." He says, "Why?" Said, "Jesus appeared. He was with us." "Oh," Thomas said, "I don't believe that." "I won't believe that till I see him and I put my hands in his wounds, feel him myself." And the next week, Thomas was in church. And Jesus appeared there. "Hello, Thomas." That got him. You know what he did? He dropped down to his knees and he said, "My Lord and my God." He was persuaded when he saw Jesus. And you know, from that time on, believers used that word Lord for no one else but Jesus. And they only used it when they were addressing God and Jesus. He is Lord. I believe in the Lordship of Christ. But let's look at this other name. Gabriel had told both Mary and Joseph. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now Jesus is from the, of course, our New Testament translated from the Greek, word, I don't know how you pronounce this, it's I-E-S-O-U-S. That's Jesus in Greek. It's a transliteration, they say, of the Hebrew word Joshua. By the way, one time, I forgot now what the reference is, in the New Testament, Jesus is called Joshua, isn't he, Sam? Remember that?
Yes.
One time.
Hebrews.
Over in Hebrews. I think it is over there. Yeah. You read the name Joshua in there, and it's not Joshua, the one that we know back in the Old Testament. That was Jesus, because that was the Hebrew name for Jesus. Joshua means Jehovah is salvation. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I've heard it said that back in that day, I don't know much about it, but it was a very common name that people would name their babies Jesus. But it was given to the Son of God at his incarnation as a personal name in obedience to the command of Gabriel. Said to Mary, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And that's the name that he's spoken of throughout the Gospels. 942 times you'll read it in your New Testament. Now, when you read about the names of Jesus in the New Testament, you'll often find that name Jesus associated with Christ. It will say Jesus Christ. That appears 187 times in the New Testament. He is called Jesus Christ. But did you know it's only found 5 times in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Only 5 times Jesus Christ. In Acts, it's used very frequently, although the normal usage of his name is Lord Jesus. That's found 115 times. In the epistles of that Peter wrote, and James and John and Jude, the name Jesus is never once found used alone. Not even once. But in Revelation, the name Jesus is found alone 8 times. And in all of Paul's epistles, all 13 of them, the name Jesus appears alone just 21 times. And 8 of those are in the book of Hebrews. Jesus. In the epistles of Peter and James and John and Jude, these men had personal companionship with Jesus during his earthly ministry when he was here in the days of his flesh, okay? When they first met him, they met him as Jesus. This is Jesus. So they knew him as Jesus, and they called him Jesus Christ, because that was the order of their experience. They knew him first as Jesus. And after they met him as Jesus, they learned that he was the Christ. So to them, he was Jesus Christ. Follow me? They knew him first as Jesus, and then, especially after his resurrection, they learned that he was Messiah Christ. So he became Jesus Christ. And then Paul gets into the act. Paul comes along, and he's on the road to Damascus. And all of a sudden, there's a light that comes down from heaven. And outshines the noonday sun. And Paul came to know him first as Christ in the glory of heaven on that Damascus road. He met him as Christ. So his experience was the reverse of these other guys. And so he uses in his writings the reverse name. When he writes, it is Christ Jesus. In all of his epistles, 58 times, Christ Jesus. So in Paul's epistles, we can say that the order is always in harmony with the context. Christ Jesus emphasizes the exalted one who emptied himself, and it testifies of his preexistence. Christ Jesus. He was Christ. He was the Son of God. He was in heaven with the Father. And he came into this world as Jesus. He was Christ. And he became Jesus. But Jesus Christ, when you say Jesus Christ, it describes the rejected one who afterwards was glorified. Because thou shalt call his name Jesus. When he was a little baby boy, he was Jesus. When he started the kindergarten, he was Jesus. When he was 12 years old, he was Jesus. He was Jesus first. When he was crucified on the cross, he was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Remember that sign that Pilate put over his head? The rejected one who was glorified. So we might say that Christ Jesus suggests the grace of God in giving us his only begotten Son. And Jesus Christ suggests his glory, because God raised him from the dead and glorified him and set him at his own right hand in exaltation. Jesus. Then the next name is Christ. In the Greek, Christ is Christos. Comes from the Hebrew Messiah. And it means anointed. Now that's a term that's used in the Old Testament because the priests who served the Lord in the tabernacle and then the temple were anointed for the work that they did. The prophets through whom God spoke were anointed. The kings who ruled over Israel were anointed with the anointing oil. So we have the priests, the prophets, and the kings that were anointed. And now then, Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Jesus was anointed by God the Father. He became the Christ, the Anointed One. Let me give you something here. This is a little tag to this. I think you'll appreciate it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. He which hath anointed us is God. I was surprised when I found that. Christ, the Anointed One, anointed of God the Father. And now God, through His grace, love, and His mercy, has anointed us. In the New Testament, the word Christ is used 19 times with the article "the" appearing before it. The Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And that refers to Jesus. And Christ, the name Christ, is added to the proper name Jesus 187 times. Jesus Christ. Jesus the Savior. Christ anointed of God. Oh, that gives you goosebumps. Man. Only. What about Jesus? Did he ever, what did he call himself? How did he refer to himself? Let me give you this. I was surprised to find this. Only one time in the Bible did Jesus ever refer to himself by that name. You'll find it in John chapter 17 before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying. John 17 is his prayer to the Father. And as he prays in verse 3, he says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, that's the only time that he ever referred to himself with a name or title or anything else. And he said, "Jesus Christ." Now the word Christ, Messiah, anointed, the Anointed One, is found 522 times. And sometimes it's used as a single title to signify the one who by his Holy Spirit and power indwells believers and molds their character in conformity to his likeness. But generally speaking, when the word Christ is used with the article "the" appearing as the Christ, the title is the subject of the sentence, and it specifies the Lord Jesus as the Christ, the Anointed. When it's used without the article, just Jesus Christ, it forms part of the predicate and stresses his character and his relationship with believers. We sing a song. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2 and says, "Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I like that. And when he returns, we read over there in Revelation 19 that he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He goes on to say that his name shall be in their foreheads. I don't know just what that means, but I'll tell you, I've never had a tattoo, but if I ever get tattooed, I don't want it to be the mark of the beast in the hand or in the forehead. It's going to be the name Jesus right up over my eyebrows. Everybody's going to look at it and they say, hey, he's one of them. Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't he? Oh, I love him. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer.